Welcome, luxury enthusiasts, to the Luxury Travelers Podcast, hosted by Rodney George. The ultimate passport to opulent destinations, extravagant experiences, and unparalleled indulgence. Whether one is a seasoned jet-setter or daydreaming of the next lavish getaway, the Luxury Travelers Podcast has it all covered. So buckle up and prepare for a journey into the lap of luxury. Now, your host.
Well, good morning. This is another episode of the Luxury Travelers Podcast, and we have a special treat in store for you today. It's not very often that you catch my guest of today in the United States. He's usually hanging out somewhere in Africa because he is the chief exploration officer. Some companies call it the CEO, the chief executive officer, but Tom calls himself the chief exploration officer of Safari Professionals. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rodney. Glad to be here. Appreciate it very much.
What are you doing in the U.S. anyway?
Well, you know, I have to be here. The team just requires that I'm here once in a while to help take care of things at this side. So, and, you know, we have a lot of folks here in the U.S. who want to talk to me about, well, their dreams of Africa. So it's always helpful if I can get directly on the phone with them or meet online like this.
Well, glad you could be here with us online at least this morning. I first met Tom because we do a lot of work with the Naples Zoo. And the Naples Zoo, our agency's been doing the Naples Zoo trips for years. And Safari Professionals took over that responsibility in working with us about, five, 6 years ago?
Six or seven or something like that. I think that's right, yeah.
And his specialty is working with zoos and aquariums all over the country. And so Naples Zoo is a hot spot for him because we find that the people in Naples have both the time and the money to travel. And so, and they like to travel, what I would say, in style. And Tom offers not only that, but a knowledge that is second to none about the continent of Africa. So, Tom, let's start off with a little bit. You talk all the time about the art of safari design. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's a simple process, really. It is that, you know, with our knowledge, we have a team with a lot of experience in Africa and other wildlife destinations around the world. And what we like to do is offer that experience to those people who want to see the world's wildlife. And that's done through an online process where we meet with them. But it's required a process over several years of refining the process of how we ask the questions and what information we get. And the bottom line is that the art of safari design is really a process by which we help people identify their priorities. What are their expectations? What's their dream of going on safari? What are their needs? What are the things they absolutely have to have? And then what are their particular interests? What are the focus points that we should? And then we then design the safari to meet those needs.
I know that you've had a fascination with Africa since back as a child. And I guess that's translated into not only a profession, but a passion that you have.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to, when I was in fifth grade back in 1955, we had just studied British East Africa, and I ended up with an illness that took me out of school for a while, and I was fortunate enough to be able to just focus on reading a lot of Africa, and that really locked me into the future of what I wanted to do. And it wasn't a direct path, but eventually I knew I wanted to work in Africa. I wanted to be involved with the people of Africa and the wildlife of Africa. I ended up doing that by being involved in the zoo community here in the United States.
Well, you've done an incredible job for our clients. I mean, they come back and just, they get all their friends involved. They come back as what was the name of the book a few years back? Raving Fans, that's it.
Yeah, we get a lot of that feedback from people, and we love that, of course. We always follow up with them to try to find out, you know, what is it that we can do better? How can we improve things? And, you know, we get comments like, well, the pillows at this place could have been a little bit softer. That's, you know, but mostly it's, oh, the food here is great. The wildlife was great. Most importantly, throughout the world, the guides that we work with, those are the ones who take your travelers out and make the experience very special for them.
Well, some of the places that you go to are a far cry from what people would normally associate with a safari and roughing it. I think what you do is even a step or two above what's the word everybody uses today? Glamping. It's not at all like most safaris, that's for sure.
Well, the whole concept of camping, we sometimes have to help educate people what that concept is, and it only takes a few photographs to show them what our operations are like, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in Malaysia, Indonesia, Australia, or anywhere in, let's say, Ecuador, Peru, Costa Rica, other destinations like that, and even in places like Alaska.
So I know that you do a number of countries. I believe you told me the other day you're up to 10 countries that you do in Africa. But the heart of the matter, where you really love to be, is in Tanzania. Why is that?
Well, Tanzania offers an incredible variety of experience and an intensity. And for the first-time safari goer, one of the things that we recommend is East Africa. And Tanzania has become the highlight of East Africa for us. It offers, as I said, a great variety of experiences. We have incredible teams there. Our guides are just incredible and make the experience very special. But the number one draw in Tanzania is the Great Serengeti Migration. And so whenever, at whatever time of the year you might be prepared to go on safari, we would focus you on what you would like to see in terms of the Great Migration. But having said that, the Southern African countries offer a very different kind of experience, and for some, that's the ideal starting point for safaris.
When you say Southern Africa, what countries in particular are you referring to?
Well, Botswana is number one. Botswana, with its unique Okavango Delta and the whole river system in the northern part of Botswana, and the famous Kalahari Desert, offers something nobody else can offer. It's truly unique from that standpoint. You have a combination of great land-based safaris with our customized Land Rovers and Land Cruisers, but also you're going to be on the water, on rivers, or in the delta, to see a water world that we're not used to.
Probably the scariest boat ride I ever took in my life was on the Zambezi River, getting to the hotel there just above the falls, just above Victoria Falls. Oh my gosh. Thank goodness they knew where all the rocks were buried, because we were going so fast that if we hit up one of them, we would have been launched into space.
You were heading to Livingston Island.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it is a little weird to be going right towards the fall, and then you suddenly take a left-hand turn.
Suddenly was correct. You've been on that boat ride, I trust.
Yes, many times, yes.
Well, one of the most beautiful sunsets I ever saw in my whole life was on the Zambezi River, though. It was magnificent.
Yeah, it is spectacular.
So what's next on the drawing board for safari professionals? Where do you go? What kind of availability do you have? I know that everything we have with the Naples Zoo for this year is already buttoned up, but what are you looking at for 2025?
Well, in terms of new destinations, what's really popular with us and what we've really been able to do is Patagonia in southern in the south, in South America, a combination of Chile and Argentina. This is an area that has spectacular scenery, and everybody sort of knows that, but it's one of the places in the world where the concept of rewilding, taking existing ranch lands and bringing it back into the wild, and specifically the iconic species there is what we call the mountain lion, or what they call the puma. The only large cat on the planet that has extended its range and is actually thriving. So that's a unique opportunity, along with the coastal parts of Argentina, where you've got incredible penguin encounters. So that's one of our best new destinations. We're doing a lot in India now to go see tigers, and if people are prepared to rough it a little bit, head into the mountains and perhaps see snow leopards. Our newest destination, which we're about to be opening up sometime later this year or early next year, will be Madagascar, off the coast of Africa, another unique identified area, high in conservation of species there, but a place a lot of people sort of know about but haven't thought much about in terms of going on safari.
We have a huge contingent of clients that are all of a sudden interested in Antarctica, so we probably should do a one-off discussion about what you're doing in Patagonia, because that's a natural place to either go to before your trek down to Antarctica or upon returning. I'm sure that you know where the luxury yurts are.
Well, we certainly have some wonderful places that we go to. The estancias that are there, the ranches are there. And it's a great, what we've done in the past is have people go into Chile or Argentina or a combination of the two before they head off to Antarctica. And it's definitely an opportunity that we'd love to provide.
You talked about the thriving species of the, I think you said the puma?
Yes.
You guys are really involved in conservation as well in different parts of the world, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. We are a conservation travel company, and that comes from our background. We are folks, two of the three partners who are involved with Safari Professionals come from the zoo conservation world. And, you know, we've been involved with conservation. I've been at this for 40 years, and we've been involved with conservation in various projects. A key part of conservation is not only the preservation of the wildlife in those habitats, but it's making sure the local communities are gaining from the travel that we do, and that we're looking at the needs of the local communities. Essentially, in the long run, they are the ones who will determine whether these wild spaces and their wild inhabitants actually have a long-term future.
Could you share with us a little bit, our clients, when they come back from your very upscale trip that you do to Tanzania. Can you explain to us a little bit about why that's so much different than anything anybody else is doing on the continent?
Well, it'll start with the team that we have on the ground. These guides that we've worked with are going to make this a very, very special opportunity. Throughout your entire time that you are in Tanzania for this very special kind of safari, you will be in the company of your guides. You have exclusive use of their vehicles. You have a lot of flexibility in terms of setting up your daily routine once you're on the ground. Many safari companies have limitations on how far the guides are allowed to travel at any given day, simply because cost of fuel is an incredibly expensive process for them. But it's the combination of the locations at a specific time of year. In this case, it's an October safari. So we're going to go to the places where the wildlife is most intense, where they're active, where things are really going on a seasonal basis, because you have real seasons wherever you go anywhere in the world. And so maximizing the seasons with the experience is critically important. And then it's the accommodations themselves. It's the specific level of accommodations, the camps, the lodges. You know, people talk about 3-star, 4-star, 5-star. The giraffe is our symbol, so we talk about 3-giraffe, 4-giraffe, 5-giraffe, and, you know, maybe 6-giraffe accommodations to go to all these places. So it's a blending of all of those things together. And, you know, when we're working with private travelers, you know, I meet with them online and take them through this process to find out which of those properties, which of those places, what time of year, what's best for them.
Well, you know, you do business around the world, and we do business with a lot of people that do Africa. None reach the level of I can't say sophistication, because some of them actually come close, but the accommodations. I remember you and I having a conversation a few months back, and we talked about one provider that stays at what would be recognized in the U.S. as a major luxury hotel chain. And you almost laughed at the fact that they were staying in this particular hotel for a couple of nights while in, I guess that's still Tanzania, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there are some, quote, brand names who've come into some of these wild spaces around the world who are providing, you know, the name is the attraction, and it's a great brand. But it's not necessarily the best option when you're in a country like Tanzania or any of the other major countries that we work in throughout the world. The local brands are often two or three steps ahead of what those American brand names are.
Two or three steps. Okay. I know you're being nice.
Well, you know, all of these places are, you know, we match up the best we can the best location for each person, each group, each family who wants to go on safari, wherever it is.
I know that you work with quite a few zoos, and you're starting to work with aquariums around the country. And I believe that has a charitable intent, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, many of the zoos and aquariums that we work with, the travel program not only focuses on conservation and has people going to these destinations so they see what conservation is on the ground. They get a firsthand experience of what conservation means outside of their home territory. But the experience that they're going to have is to be on the ground and see exactly what's there during that process.
And the charities benefit from that in what kind of ways?
Well, in many cases, there is a commission sent back to the zoo for that, or there are donations made to the nonprofits that they support in that. And that's the same for many of the safaris that we do. We try to involve local communities as much as possible so that they are receiving additional benefits, and with our involvement with the various conservation organizations as well.
Well, I know in particular in the Naples Zoo case, they're very involved in conservation efforts in many parts of the world, I believe.
They are. You know, it's. I always say, you know, for being a smaller zoo, they have the biggest conservation footprint of any zoo in the country. Their commitment to conservation is beyond any that I've ever seen, and I've been involved with the zoo world for 40 years. And specifically Tanzania, just one of those places where they are incredibly involved. Madagascar is another. They have places all over the world.
Well, and I know you probably wouldn't bring it up, so I'll go ahead and bring it up. Just to give you an example of the caliber of people that Tom and his team work with, in conjunction with the Naples Zoo, two people in particular come to mind. Tim Tetzloff, who is the director of conservation for the Naples Zoo, and this year on the October trip, you also have, I believe it's Dr. Luke Dollar, that'll be traveling with your group.
That's correct. The Naples Zoo safaris are very special in that you know, they have conservation leaders going on the safaris, and that's an opportunity that is provided. That's through Tim's connections with all the various people he's involved with. And each, for the Naples Zoo safaris, each time it's usually somebody different who's going to accompany them because of all the contacts that he has.
And tell me, he's really involved in conservation efforts, in particular with giraffes, I believe.
Giraffes are a key species that he's involved with. As a matter of fact, the Naples Zoo fully funds the full-time veterinarian who works with the Giraffe Conservation Foundation in the field, as the Naples Zoo does with staff positions in many places, including what's going to be our newest destination, Madagascar.
Dr. Dollar, in particular with his work with the giraffes, but in addition to that, I believe he's a writer for National Geographic, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's one of the National Geographic explorers that has also joined with the Naples Zoo and with Tim on some of their safaris. That's correct.
So if people watching this show, this podcast, have a particular interest in finding out more about safari professionals, how would they do that?
Well, they can certainly go to our website, which is www.safariprofessionals.com. It's not a complicated name. It's pretty simple. Or, you know, if they'd like to contact me directly, my email address is pretty easy. It's just tom@safariprofessionals.com.
Or they can call the wonderful lady in our office, Teresa Perez, who's been working with the Naples Zoo for, I don't know, 15 years or longer, putting together these safaris. And she's one of the most knowledgeable people that I know from our side of the business anyway. For the listener, is there any type of incentive for them to book a safari trip with your company, Safari Professionals?
Well, yeah, there is, especially with our relationship with Lux Travel. Lux Travel. When folks want to design their private safari and they would like me to help them or somebody on our team, but I'm the one who does most of the private safari planning, we do charge a fee up front because it you know, We have the skills, we have the knowledge, we've invested all of this time that we'd like to give that out, but at a cost. So it's we do charge a $500 fee to do a safari plan for folks, and that fee becomes a credit to the safari when they say, yes, let's go on safari. But for those who come to us through you, through Lux Travel Consultants, we will, in fact, waive that fee. That's something that we'd like to do on behalf of, to help you and the team at Lux Travel provide our services for your travelers.
The main thing that you need to know about Tom is that, well, I just called to mind while I was getting ready to say something else, but we had a client last year who saw what Tom had put together for the Naples Zoo trip, and she wanted to go and take her mother on this trip, but the dates didn't work because of a family wedding commitment or something. And so what did you do about that?
First of all, I met with her, and we had an online meeting and with both her and her mother, and I just wanted to confirm what it was about that safari that was so special. And then she had an additional interest which didn't quite match up. She has a fascination for elephants and had been supporting the Sheldrick Elephant Orphanage in Nairobi for many, many years. Well, we were looking at a Tanzania safari. So what we did, of course, is we added on a before the Tanzania safari, a visit to Kenya, specifically for the two of them to go in a private visit, not a public visit, to the orphanage, spend the time there, which was her passion, and then take her to Tanzania. And the rest of the safari was pretty much a match with what we had done for the Naples Zoo.
And she's still talking about it. She's still raving about it. She's still telling her friends about it. You made a real advocate out of her with the ability to take a custom, what was already a custom itinerary, but customize it even more so down to two people. And most of our vendors would not have an interest in that type of that small of a group, if you will.
Again, it's really what is it that your travelers are looking to do? How do we meet their dream? How do we meet their expectations? That's the process. That's what I learned how to do over all of these years. And, you know, in a 30-minute online meeting, which I will admit sometimes stretches out a little further because we get into some additional conversations, but in an online meeting like that, at the end of that meeting, I will confirm what their priorities are, and then we can go from there.
You know, I think one of the most fantastic things that you and your team do is the pre-departure meeting that you have with everyone. And if they can't all be there in person, you Zoom them in. But that, tell us a little bit about that, because that to me is very meaningful so that I know what to expect when I arrive and everywhere along the way. Not that unexpected things don't happen from time to time, but the preparation that you do for your clients and often our clients is just over the top.
Well, the most important thing, once we've created their safari, the safari that meets their expectations and their interests, then it's to make sure they're fully prepared to enjoy it and make sure it. So we will provide them a personalized safari guidebook that gets them all of the basic information in a written format. But then, knowing that there's always going to be questions, we make sure they have access to, coming back to us for questions. But a few weeks before departure, we ask them to come together with us online, meet with us online, and just go through a reminder of all of the basic, most important pieces. Depending on the destination, it's going to be different for each place. But we want to just sort of reemphasize the most important things. Most importantly, let's get those questions out that if, you know, oh, wait a second, I forgot to ask you, how much luggage can I bring on this trip? It's what kind of electrical plugs do we need? What kind of medical preparations do we have to have? Do we need to get travel visas? All of those important things we're going to help with. Our team is always available to be able to help.
You do something very unique upon arrival on the continent of Africa as well. And having been to Africa several times myself, I was wishful for someone like that to have been there with me. Tell them a little bit about what you do up on, when they arrive in Africa.
Well, in those countries where we can do it, Tanzania, Kenya, and South Africa specifically, what we do is, well, picture this. You've just arrived. You know, you're not arriving in a small aircraft. You just arrived with 340 of your closest friends. And as you get off the aircraft, you know what faces you. You're about to go into a series of lines. And depending on the airport, you know, that can take anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and a half just after you've been traveling for, you know, how many hours. So at all of those places where we can do it, specifically Tanzania, Kenya, and South Africa, as you come off the aircraft, we will have a safari professionals representative waiting for you before you go into the terminal or as you enter the terminal, take you aside and move you over to the VIP section. And that's, in the case of Tanzania, for example, that's a separate little building where you go into a lounge, yeah. Sit down, relax. The immigration officials come over and take care of your paperwork. Our team goes and collects your luggage. So you're relaxing, taking it easy, meeting our team, and then shortly after your luggage comes. It's a little different in each country, but the bottom line is we'd like to make it easier for you. It's even more important to have the VIP treatment at the end when you're leaving that country because yes. Several flights are going to be leaving at the same time. And those security lines, they don't have a pre-check like we have in the U.S. So the only way you get around going through the VIP side is to be working with us and have our team take care of you.
Well, I tell you, it's a welcome surprise when you arrive on the continent of Africa. And Tom and his team are there to greet you and to walk you through, because otherwise it would be a stretch to even call what typically happens is organized chaos. But there's no organized chaos with Tom and his company. You're quickly whisked away to the VIP section, and they go to work finding your luggage, getting everything through customs, and making sure everything goes smoothly. And while you get a chance to kind of catch your breath after that long flight.
Yeah, wherever we can do it, we're going to always put that in and make sure that happens.
You know, in closing, I'd like to reminisce just for a second about a former CEO of a major worldwide beverage company who was once quoted as saying that dreams are better than memories. And Tom, you create a lot of memories for people, and so do we in all kinds of fashions. But I would submit to you that there's nothing better that you can create with your children and your grandchildren and maybe even your great-grandchildren than memories that will last them for a lifetime. My grandson, one of my youngest grandsons, was visiting me last week with his mom. And we sat down one night and just talked about all the incredible family vacations that we had been on over the last 10, 12, 15 years. And the memories that are in that 13-year-old's mind will never be erased.
Well, and that's correct. I mean, the opportunities that traveling throughout the world, wherever it is, expands everything for everybody, and especially that growing trend for families to take children or three generations to take children on a safari. What an incredible opportunity that is. But it does fulfill dreams, and then those memories are there forever. And you might remember that particular person that you talked about, that former CEO, is actually a traveler of ours that we've done several safaris for.
That's exactly why I didn't mention his name.
It's okay. That's fine.
Okay. Well, Tom, it's been great to visit with you. I could stay on here and talk to you for another 2 or 3 hours. It's always amazing to be around you, and every single time I'm around you, I learn something new about Africa and why everybody should have that on their bucket list.
Well, and keep in mind that safari doesn't just mean Africa anymore. We have wildlife destinations all over the world. And just today, I got an email from two of the travelers from Lux Travel, who went to Africa with us at the Naples Zoo, and now they're interested in exploring some other destinations. And I'll be in touch with you to discuss that a little bit later.
And we had a couple of travelers that just got back from the snow leopards trip.
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah. Well, listen, my friend, it's been great having you on board. If people want to reach out to you, you got a phone number where they can reach you at?
703 981 4474.
Or you can simply email tom@safariprofessionals.com.
Yes. Well, thank you, Rodney. This has been a joy. Thank you. I look forward to working with the Lux Travel team throughout this entire upcoming year and well into next year.
Well, it's been my pleasure indeed. We thank you for taking time from your busy schedule to be with us here today.
Well, and I hope to see you in Africa soon, too.
Be there shortly. Take care. Have a wonderful day. And thanks again for being on the show.
You're welcome.
That's it. That's it for now.
Thanks for joining us on the Luxury Travelers Podcast. For more information, head on over to luxurytravelerspodcast.com to connect with our team or leave us a message. Until next time, safe travels and savor the extraordinary.